Matthew 28 from verses 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth."
But we need to explore that one, heaven and earth, during our TLC. But he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. He says, go therefore and make disciples of every nation. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Right? He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and Lord, will you always be to the end of the age. Oh, just some few days back, a pastor friend of mine, they began to chat me up and was asking me, was Matthew 28:19 talking about water baptism? Like, wow, this is interesting. You know, it's interesting. Hallelujah. It's interesting. Because when you were talking about water baptism, hallelujah, how would you know? Scriptures corroborate each other. Hallelujah. Look at what Mark said. Look at what Luke said. Look at what John said. Hallelujah. That's simple. Are you following that? What did they say? In fact, when it now says baptizing them, now, you know, that word baptizing them is what Mark will call he that believes and is baptized that child will be saved. Are you hearing me? It's not water baptism. He's talking about to be saved, to be born again. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Are you following that? It has nothing to do with water baptism. In fact, if you now push further, you discover that in the original, where you have the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, does not even exist in the original. When I mean does not exist in the original, God don't have any corroboration where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is used again in scriptures. Like that. Are you following me? Glory to God. Amen. Well, today we're discussing on what I titled the Holy Ghost meetings. The Holy Ghost meetings. When the Spirit gets to moving. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost meetings. When the Spirit gets to moving. By precepts and example. We're going to look at it again. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost meetings. Glory to God. So Jesus said, teaching them. Who would you teach? The disciples. So remember that word, go make disciples. Go make disciples. That word disciples will be matitis in the Greek. Matitis. One who is a learner. Matitis. A learner. An apprentice. One who is given to learning. Are you following me? He said, go make disciples. Hallelujah. Go make disciples. Go make students. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Go make students. And you know, for the past few weeks, we'll be saying this instruction that Matthew summarized the instruction of Jesus in the 40 days to be what? On discipleship. Do you understand me? Some of what Jesus instructed them in the 40 days, he focused on the discipleship aspect of that instruction. Say, go raise disciples. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you look at Mark, in Mark 16, for verse 15, let's go to Mark 15, for verse 16. I mean, Mark 16, for verse 15. Mark. It's the same instruction, but let's look at Mark. Mark who says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be damned. You see that? Hallelujah. He says, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hallelujah.
Mark will focus on what will lead to the discipleship.
Hallelujah.
So Mark's summary will be on Mark's summary of that 40 days teaching. Remember the 40 days teaching. Now, Mark's summary of that teaching will be focused on the preaching to the unsaved, to becoming saved. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. So he focused to be on preaching to the unsaved to becoming saved. It's the same instruction, it's the same meaning. Because when the unsaved becomes saved, remember the call to salvation and the call to discipleship, right? Are you following that? Hallelujah. So it's the same instruction. It's the same instruction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the call to salvation is the call to discipleship. So I will say discipleship will be carried out via teaching. It says teaching them to observe Matthew 28:20. It says teaching them to observe all whatsoever I have commanded you. Hallelujah. And lo, which means to see. See, all things have become new. Hallelujah. See, all things have become new. See, all things have become new. Hallelujah. So what that implies is that the call to salvation is the call to knowledge. Because he says, teaching them in discipleship. Are you hearing me? So meaning the call to salvation is the call to knowledge. Remember what I just did was just to expand that narrative. Or what? The call to salvation is the call to discipleship. I just expanded that narrative to becoming what? The call to knowledge. Say, teaching them. Who would you teach? Disciples. Hallelujah. So meaning disciples involves teaching. In discipleship, the primary what should be done is teaching. He said, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. So that means that discipleship will be knowledge based. Or we can put it like this: Christianity is a knowledge based faith. So the call to salvation is the call to knowledge, it is the call to grow in knowledge. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. So you can see the way we're taking the narrative from the church, local church, to where we are now. Hallelujah.
So we can say when a man gets born again, he starts a course on knowing the word. When a man gets born again, he begins the quest, the course on knowing the word. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Like as I said earlier, Christianity is a knowledge-based faith. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Are you there? From verses 3 into 4. Therefore, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires, God's desire, is for all men to be saved. Whose desire is of what? All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Did you see God's desire?
For all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Peter quickly. 2 Peter. Tiro. 2 Peter. Chapter 3. Verses 18. I'll be a bit fast today. We'll have a whole lot covered. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. It says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says, grow in grace and in the knowledge. Hallelujah. So what he's trying to tell you is not
you grow in grace, say you need to grow in knowledge. That word and is the word kai. Hallelujah. It says grow in grace. That is grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus.
So the growing grace, our growing knowledge is the growing grace. Are you hearing me? So you see, there is a consistent instruction to stay with the word. God's desire is for men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Grow in grace. That is in the knowledge of the Lord. Are you hearing me? Look at Ephesians 4 verse 13. Ephesians 4, 13.
Are you there? I'll read. It says, I'll start from verse 11.
It says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the defining of the body of Christ. He says, we all come through the unity of faith. Remember, we explained this, right?
The unity of faith. He says, he calls the unity of faith the knowledge of the Son of God. It's not one day,
just is coming out, there's this belief. That Jesus is going to come back one day. And the whole church will be united. Someone said it's going to be in one place. I'm thanking you, Jesus. I'm calling you.
Amen. Amen.
Did you know? Glory to God.
So one day, he said, the church will be ready for rapture when we all come to unity of faith. Some people now, a fine analysis, they say, the gospel spread around the whole world.
You know, how are we getting to talk about this? Okay, let's be yourself.
It is.
You know, before the lockdown, I began to learn some things.
Yeah, that should be before the lockdown or
towards the end of last year. I learned some things along the line. That,
okay, that was last year. And you know, every nation where you see, they worship idol. Any place where you see idol is worship. Yeah?
It shows that the gospel has gotten there. Because an idol worship from scripture, what we've learned over time from scripture, that idol worship is in rebellion to the knowledge of Christ. It's rebellion to the knowledge of Christ.
So where idols are worshipped is as a result of the fact that the gospel has gotten there.
So, you know, when people begin, you know, that will crush your theology.
I hope you know that. It will crush your theology. And that's why many a times it's good to confront your theology or confront your theology with the knowledge of the word. You discover that most times what will carry as theology is just babash.
Hallelujah.
Confront the knowledge of the word. All the while you see a foreign God was as a result of rebellion to the knowledge of Christ.
Or to the knowledge of God. Read scripture. Read all true scriptures. We got you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So when you begin to say, until you know, get to the end of the earth, before after you take the one that. What is that? Can you not?
So people now begin to do calculation. Calculator.
You are not a calculator. You calculate rapture.
What is rapture? So we'll just be here. Jesus will just come down. Like Superman, it's much Iron Man that is what you just call that like this, and everybody will just ascend like magnets.
You can't say that from here, right? Because we knew you didn't ascend back. Hallelujah.
Amen. We knew Jesus, we know Jesus never left the earth. He lives in us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sir, does it mean you don't believe in rapture?
I never told you I don't believe in rapture. But not the kind of rapture. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
So let's continue. How is everything
negative? Yeah, the more I was going deep, the more I was trying to
doubt that, how did you get it? Just to the way to run out. Okay, unity of faith. So the unity of faith is actually knowledge.
And whose responsibility is that? The responsibility of what? The eldership in the local church.
I hear me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not something we all collectively just jump to or we agree. We say we don't have unity of faith. No. The unity of faith is what we come to in knowledge.
I hear him. It's called knowledge. See, we all come to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he calls the unity of faith the knowledge of the Son of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:9. He says, for this reason, also since the day I heard of it, did not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge. You may be, this is Paul's prayer, that you may be filled with knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Paul's prayer from the church at Colossae
is for them were to be filled with knowledge. Hallelujah. To the church at Philippi, Philippians 1:9 also, he says, and I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment.
Look at what he says to the church at Philippi. We are coming there. He says, your love will abound more and more in knowledge. Did you see that? Meaning, okay, we'll get there soon.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So Paul's prayer for the church, even at Ephesus, is concerning knowledge. Ephesians 1.
Verses 16. He said, do not cease to give thanks of do not cease to give thanks for you. He said, making mention of you in my prayer, that the Lord, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom. Now, may give you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge. And revelation in the knowledge of him.
He calls the spirit of wisdom, he calls it what? Knowledge in the, revelation in the knowledge of him. He said, God will grant unto you the spirit of wisdom. That is revelation. That is the word ankai. That is revelation in the knowledge of him. He's not God who has said to another. I was paracletos. They don't take another spirit. This one is wisdom. This one is dixie. This one is amen.
No, that's not what he's talking about.
No. Are you following me?
Glory to God. Glory to God. He calls the spirit of wisdom, he calls his revelation in the knowledge of him. So, Paul's prayer was about knowledge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the question will now be, why is growth in knowledge important for a believer? Why is growing in knowledge important for a believer?
Remember, we just read that he told the church at Philippi that your grace will abound more and more in knowledge. Glory to God. We'll get there.
Hallelujah. Okay, look at Philemon. Philemon 6. Don't know where Philemon is, go to Genesis and see it there. Glory to God. Amen. Okay. Philemon verse 6. If you are there, I read that the communication, the sharing of your faith may become effective. Say, by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus.
That the communication of your faith, the sharing of your faith. Now look at Paul's prayer. This is Paul's prayer for Philemon.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, before now, let's see what he has said concerning Philemon. In verse 4, he said, I thank my God, making mention of you in my prayers, hearing of your love. Did you see? So, Philemon,
remember, just like the church at Philippi, he wanted them to do more in love. He said he prayed for their knowledge. Did you see that? Now, look at Philemon.
Philemon had somebody who had offended him. His name is Onesimus.
Are you hearing me? Onesimus has offended Philemon. And he's no longer with Philemon. He's with Paul.
Now, Paul wants to send Onesimus back to Philemon.
Are you hearing me?
Now look at what he says. He says, hearing of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. Now he wants Philemon to extend this love to the brothers who have wronged him.
Hallelujah. I thank for God. God who stole your iPhone 11. Stole your iPhone 11 and ran away. That said, if I catch that guy, And the next thing, you now hear the person is born again. You know what I have asked that question before? He says, what is the place of restitution? You see restitution, you that thing. I mean, what is the place of restitution in the believer's life? I know somebody has offended you.
Now you now hear that the person is not born again. Not that like, the person is not born again, you now hear that the person is now a member of your local church in another state. And the person is now tongue talking, Holy Ghost speak. She's not be born again. You'll not be having holy anger. Now imagine you now get to see that person in maybe your believer's convention or your believer's business. You have to call the person drunk. How hard, right? No, maybe not even your iPhone 11. Maybe something that is very dear to you. But you took it down.
I don't want to say something else. I'm
full of love. I have a person called bro.
You know some people they will always say, if I catch that brother, where is that bro anything?
See, I don't have a joke with my money. Don't people are like that. I don't have a joke with my money.
Hallelujah. Let me use the one that sisters will be reason with me. That person you gave your clothes to soak. Have you ever done anything to that before? One of my colleagues in the office said, when tailors have been trained, they also trained, they have skills for they can post you. Hallelujah. Now imagine the tailor. Now offended you. I've been looking for a way to take soldiers there. You know, but to take soldiers there. And the next thing you hear, Pastor Garibas minister to you. And the person is not born again, tongue talking. The person is coming for me, please. You know, you have to extend love to that person. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So, people, if your personal calls me, God to me, you have to show love to Sister Deza, man of God. Sir, I respect the anointing. Sir, I respect the anointing, but sir.
Even the law of karma, you know, when a believer begins to call karma, you know that his faith is not in the Lord. sir.
And so people can tell their pastor wholeheartedly, not here. Nobody can tell their pastor wholeheartedly, sir. I respect you, I respect the anointing, but sir, this is the wrong thing. This is holy anger, sir.
No, this guy has wrong Philemon. And now, Paul needs him to extend that love to Onesimus.
Hallelujah. Now, here's what he said. Now, that shows that Onesimus is a man that is walking in love already towards other brethren. Right? Right? And maybe now, Paul wants to let him know, because in the letter, Paul now made him know that Onesimus is now saved.
Do you know that? So now Paul wants to extend that love. You know, praise for him. He said that the communication of your faith. You know, this is how Paul said he was praying for him. That the communication of his faith will become effectual.
That word communication is the Greek word koinonia.
Koinonia
is the word used to share. To share, to fellowship. It's used 19 times in New Testament Greek. 19 times in New Testament Greek, and we're going to be fast in opening those books. Are you with me? 1 John chapter 1. Quickly, 1 John 1. 1 John 1, 3. It says, that which we've seen and heard and declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 6. He said, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not practice the truth. Hallelujah. Verse 7, for if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God.
Yeah, he's used as what for what we've come into in Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Philippians 3 verse 10. That word is used again. Philippians 3 verse 10. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. He uses the word fellowship of his suffering. But if you read the word fellowship of his suffering, you expect that you see what he said, what he has said in chapter 1 verse 5. And chapter 2 verse 1. Look at chapter 1 verse 5. He says, verse 1. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now.
Did you see that? For your fellowship in the gospel.
Their participation. Hallelujah. In chapter 2 verse 1, he said, therefore, is there, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, hallelujah, say, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. He calls it the fellowship of the Spirit.
Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 9,
it says, I'll start with verse 8. He said, but to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, he said, this grace was given me that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hid in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He is used for the preaching of the gospel.
The fellowship of the mystery. The fellowship of the mystery. Talking about the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. When you use the word of fellowship here, it implies stewardship.
Stewardship. And stewardship to the gospel, which is what? Preaching the gospel.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the word fellowship in Acts 2:42. Acts 2:42. We saw those who got saved. Acts 2:42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Did you see that?
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
It is used for the believers' walk in love. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine.
He said, in the breaking of bread, in fellowship.
Do you understand me?
Hallelujah. Their walk in love is used. That word koinonia is used. The same thing you find in Romans 15:26. Romans 15:26. I want you to see all this. Hallelujah. Romans 15:26. If you dare read. It says, for it pleased those of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution. That word contribution in the word fellowship is the word koinonia. Certain contribution for the poor amongst the saints who are in Jerusalem.
Do you see that it's used for the believers' work in love? Contribution.
It's the same thing too you find in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 13. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 13. It says, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, that your liberal sharing with them and all men, liberal sharing, that's the word liberal sharing,
in the Bible, they are giving, they are walking love. Hallelujah. Did you?
Are you following that? Walk in love. It's used for the believers to walk in love.
Hallelujah.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1 9. See, I'm going to be fast, and I am. 1 Corinthians 1 verses 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of the Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful, by whom you were called
into the fellowship. Hallelujah. This is what has happened to us in Christ.
Hallelujah. We've been called into fellowship. Glory to God. In chapter 10, verse 16. In chapter 10, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 10, 16. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. He said, the cup of blessing which will bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, the bread which will break? Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread, one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread.
So if you are still thinking it's holy communion, say good year. Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Paul used it. That was the word communion to explain our walk of love amongst believers.
That's what we're using for there. Hallelujah. There's not a communion of. He talks about it's used for. Paul is using it there to explain our walk in love.
Get that message on the communion table. Yes, you understand it better. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Say, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? That's the word fellowship. What that word communion also? Hallelujah. It's used for our believers' work. So therefore, the word koinonia is both used for what has happened to us in the new birth and for our believers' work.
The word koinonia is used for what has happened to us in the new birth and for our believers' work. Are you following me?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul's communication to Philemon is that his believers' work. When he says that the communication of thy faith will become effectual by the acknowledgement of every virtue which is in you in Christ Jesus. He said he's telling him that the believer's work is to the degree of his knowledge about God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the word effectual. Remember we said that during, that should be last two. You said that word effectual, it means operative. So the communication of his faith to become effectual, become operative energies, become operative. Say by the acknowledging. Now that word acknowledging is where we have the word epignosis from. Epignosis. That word epignosis implies accurate information. Accurate information. Precise, accurate information. Complete, wholesome information. Are you following me? Now, so what Paul is telling Timothy,
I've gotten to Timothy now.
What Paul is telling Philemon is that your believers walk. Remember, koinonia is used for believers' work, right? Now, he said your believers' work is to the degree of your knowledge about Christ.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you see that? And you're following the knowledge about Christ. So you cannot function above your knowledge about Christ. Have you not seen a fellow believer? Or have you not seen a believer call another believer which? Your knowledge about Christ.
Amen. Amen. You can't function above your knowledge.
How can you expect a believer or someone who all the years in church is if you are there, you know you'll be laughing. Right?
You know that. What happened?
Because your worship of God, you cannot worship God above your knowledge of Him.
I've had somebody who has confronted me. He said, see, my salvation is not complete except I do water baptism. I said, are you for me? He said, yes. He said, do you know that a man can lose heaven?
This is serious.
He said, don't you know? John 3, verse 3. He said, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, the man be born of water, he cannot enter. He can only see, but he cannot enter.
I said, see, when you are preaching, I'm preaching for you.
I know it well. Do you want me to continue this your sermon? As I say, I will continue it, you believe me.
But you know, I'm telling you the truth, you don't want to hear. You know, where you now hear those things, okay, Jesus is baptized water. Where did Jesus baptize water in school? Hey, Jesus baptized! He baptized water, just show me. You know, be amazed.
You can't worship God
above your knowledge. You can't.
That's why knowledge is important.
I am.
There are some people who always think that until they sow seed, it will never be well for them.
Your knowledge.
Your knowledge.
Amen. Some people believe that it is men that have to pray for God, to God for them. You cannot worship God above your knowledge. Or people still have the knowledge of idol. Are you hearing me?
Glory to God. Have you not heard people say, ah, you're walking, maybe they put all those things, they put at the middle of the road, you know, and you're walking, you're just kicking.
You're just kicking, because you are knowledgeable, because you know that is nothing. But imagine you're walking with, you know, I did not say anything, but I just did like this, so you know what I mean. Hallelujah. And you get that boy, I just kick it and say, ah! Ah! Bro, you keep sacrifice. Bible says, that's not the Lord your God.
I've never heard people like that. He said, do not tempt God. Why are you tempting God?
You cannot worship God above your knowledge of him.
But you're like I know that
an idol is nothing. It's nothing, it's just wood. Because
don't worry, we'll get there. Amen. Anyway, remember I told you we'll get there. We're talking about Holy Ghost meeting. Don't worry.
Glory to God. Amen. Because before our seers will have power outreaches soon.
Glory to God.
Amen. We'll have power outreaches soon. Before our seers.
So we'll get to teach about it next week into next 2 weeks. Glory to God. So an idol is nothing. Say, an idol is nothing.
An idol is nothing.
There's no power in anything. One of my pastors will say, I fear Koboku. Say, you bring Koboku
and you bring idol. You will run for Koboku.
Demon. Glory to God. Hey, come on, we're talking about. What is knowledge? And that is why it's good for a believer to be knowledgeable. I will explain something to you. Something happened in my school yesterday.
Some guys, I don't know how it happened. They carry, I don't know how they did it, but they went to a female to say, I wonder why they didn't do that to make it so safe. Went to a female to say, and they carried blood of an animal, and they sprinkled it around people's head. Around people's head, round.
Ah! They just called me. Look, you are sleeping. You are sleeping, and they are giving back, you know, and they have no sacrifice in school.
So me, with my voice and my knowledge, I jumped up on the bed.
Ran down there, I saw a whole JCCD.
You know what the JCCD is? Don't worry, nobody is here. JCCD means Joint Christian Body. It's just like the body of Christ. They gather around the hostel and they are praying.
Oh!
And I came and said, what is happening here?
They said, you did sacrifice.
I looked at them.
I just went straight. Ah! I went back,
Yeah, I'm not serious, and I went back to the hostel.
This thing. You know, this thing.
Someone heard me talk about something in school, and somebody said, they saw somebody's boots. And they put 5 naira, 10 naira, and this inside. And that person will never succeed.
I was touched to the heart when I heard that Jesus. But today, if I look back, I'm like, ah. If you want to take my shoe, I'll put my hand. I don't worry. Shoe is too small. I'll give you something that is worth more than shoe. That you put a lot inside.
Nonsense.
Some people are afraid. Somebody will cough and say, ah, if they match your cough, you will get sore throat. Look at your knowledge. Look at your knowledge. Look at your knowledge. Someone say, ah, they're taking my blood. They're taking my blood. My blood. Your blood? Okay. Let's say they took your blood. Eh? What will not happen? Someone met me one time. Why am I talking about this? Someone met me one time. This is where I would end it. And says, ah, I don't know. Ah, I discovered that the lady I want to marry, I took the lady to my parents. And my parents are rejecting the lady. But sir, we did blood covenant. If I leave, I am going to die. We did blood covenant. I said, how did you do this? We tell her, we now stop our blood. It was all blood covenant. I said, sit down, it's okay.
Come on, scatter that thing!
What is blood covenant?
Your knowledge of God. Your knowledge of God.
Cannot go beyond. See, your worship of God cannot go beyond your knowledge. I hear you cannot go beyond your knowledge. That is why we teach the way we teach. I hear you. We teach the way we teach. We teach the way we teach. Some people think until they give money, they will never be blessed. So seed is money, water is money. Even if your school fees, if you are a graduate and seed is money, water is money, you should revoke your certificate. Yes, now. Everything is money. You know, that's something. Come back. Amen. Amen. So knowledge is important. You cannot worship God outside your knowledge of Him. This is why in Matthew 28, Jesus said disciples should be taught. Matthew 28:20 says teaching them. So disciples will be taught. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The teaching of the word will produce the right believer's work. The teaching of the word will produce the right believer's work. It's me. It's like, I don't know who is working. Some people know they are nice. They don't need to pray in tongues all through the night. They are praying and they are Holy Ghost, I have on them all. Wherever Satan I got him, Holy Ghost, I have on them. Wherever Satan I got him, Holy Ghost, I you will not pray in tongues. You may even pray. You know. It's money. Some people believe there's somebody tying their destiny. You believe that there's something that you're a born, you're a child of God. I'm not saying that there's no demonic power. There is. But you know, for you to be a child of God, to start believing that my destiny has been tied. In our family, nobody can make it above 30 years. Nobody has ever done this. Nobody has ever done that. Bro, I'm a break in the gym. You remember that? I'm a break in the gym. That was like, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. See, all things that passed away, say, behold! You're in Christ. See it. Are you hearing me? I'm in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So the teaching of the word will produce the right believer's work. The right believer's work. It will produce the right talk. Right talk will produce right thinking. Or, let me put it like this. The teaching of the word will produce right thinking. Right thinking will produce right thoughts. Right thoughts will produce right work. Is that not spiritual growth? That is spiritual growth. So the teaching of the word will produce spiritual growth. Hallelujah. This is why the teaching meeting is the primary meeting of believers. Primary. primary. Remember we said when a man gets born again, he's brought into the local church. Why? To be taught. Are you hearing me? The teaching meeting is the primary meeting of the believer. Any church that doesn't place premium on teaching has missed the reason for the local church. Place premium on teaching. Not 5 minutes, though. You will make it. Amen. You will make it. No, I said teach the word. Amen. Jesus spent time teaching. You find out in Matthew 4:23, he went about and taught. He taught. Matthew 5:1-2, Jesus taught. Are you following me? Glory to God. Jesus taught. Matthew 9:35. Let's rush to Matthew 9:35 quickly. Matthew 9:35. In Matthew 5:1, into chapter 7:28, Jesus was teaching on the mount. Matthew 9:35. Let's see that. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. He went about teaching.
Hallelujah.
In Matthew 11:1, the same thing. Matthew 11:1, he, look at this. He said, and it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Did you see that? He taught in their cities. In chapter 13:54. Matthew 13:54. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? He taught. So Jesus spent 70% of the time, 70% of Jesus' incarnation is spent teaching. He was found teaching. Teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Was found teaching. In Luke 11:1, he taught them to pray. He taught them to pray. In the resurrection, when he resurrected, Luke 24:24.
Luke 24:24 into 27, he taught them. He says, oh fools, who are about to believe in all the prophets has spoken. He said, all from the Christ who have suffered this sin and entered into his glory. He said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. That word expounded is the Greek word diameleo. It means to teach. He expounded to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So Jesus stops them. How do we know? Acts 1:3. How many days? 40 days. How many days? 40 days. Acts 1:3. He taught them for 40 days concerning, things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus spent time teaching
them for 40 days, all through the scriptures. Hallelujah. The apostles also have teaching meetings. Acts 2. I want you to follow me. We are looking at scriptures. We are having Holy Ghost meetings. We are teaching Holy Ghost meetings. Acts 2. Look at verse 42. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles, doctrine. That was doctrine, the word teaching. They continued in the apostles' teaching. Chapter 4:2. Acts 4:2. Then being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection. From the dead. Did you see that? Acts 4:2. That's what we just read. Hallelujah. So they were preaching, their teaching was concerning Christ's resurrection. Acts 5:21. And when they heard, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. Hallelujah. They taught. Every opportunity they saw, they taught. Look at Acts 5, that same 5 verse 41 into 42. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for him, for his name, which is, after they flogged them, they rejoiced. Verse 42. And daily in the temple, and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Did you see that? They were teaching and preaching. In Acts 11, 26. This is Barnabas. When he found Saul. And when he had found him, which is Saul, he brought him to Antioch, so that it was, and so it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Did you see that? They taught for a whole full year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They taught for a whole full year. In Acts 15, you see how we're progressing? You see, it's in every, almost every chapter. Acts 15, verse 35. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. In chapter 18, verse 11, this is Paul. He returned back to Antioch. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, rather Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. And, Acts 18, 11. And he continued there. That is in Corinth. He continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God amongst them. He spent 1 year, 6 months teaching. Listen. Paul had a hard and he has hard work. But what determines where he would be at every point? Because only to see that slant of it. Do you understand? The gospel determined where Paul would be at every point. Because that will determine your profession. Not your profession to determine what you do in the gospel. Always get that. Hallelujah. That's not what we're talking about, but I just wanted you to see that. Look at Acts 20:20. So Paul taught for 1.5 years. Acts 20:20. Paul was speaking to the elders in Ephesus. He says, serving the Lord, verse 20 rather, how I kept nothing that was helpful but proclaim it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. How did Paul teach them? House to house. How did he teach them? House to house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul taught. So Paul taught them house to house for a space of 2 years. Look at Acts 28. Verse 29. And when he had said this word, the Jews departed and a great dispute amongst themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concerns the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. No one forbidding him, rather. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you see that? So teaching is the primary meeting of the believers. Hallelujah. Teaching meeting. In fact, that teaching is the quality of the one who oversees others. Acts 20:28. 1 Timothy 3 verse 1 is the quality of one who will lead others. 1 Timothy 3:1 into 2. So So we can say the teaching meeting is the classroom meeting of the believer. Is the classroom meeting of the believer.
Where one person is teaching, the others are listening and taking notes.
So, who is actively involved?
One who is teaching, right? One person is teaching, the other person, the others are what? Receiving, right?
That is a teaching meeting. The believers also have,
or believers, we as believers also have what we call prayer meetings. Prayer meetings.
The prayer meeting is a practical class. Because teaching, we saw from Luke 11, Jesus taught them to pray, right? Jesus taught. So, we teach concerning prayer, right? Like we will say, you can know everything about prayer. If you don't pray, it's not effective.
You know what I mean? So,
prayer is the practical class. Or is the practical, the practical class, a fallout of the teaching meeting. A fallout of the teaching meeting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just like what we read in Luke 11, Matthew 10, 1, Jesus taught them to pray. By Matthew 17, he took them to pray.
Did you see that? He took them to pray.
And they saw him pray.
You know that they saw him pray.
In Luke 22, he carried them again to pray. And he asked them to pray. But they were sleeping. Acts 2:42, they continued in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, in fellowship, and in
prayer. Did you see that? So the disciples were exposed to prayer.
So the disciples also prayed, had prayer meeting. In Acts 3, verse 1. Acts 3, verse 1. I want to be a bit fast here. Acts 3 verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. They had prayer time. They had prayer meeting time.
Are you hearing me? They had prayer meeting time. Jesus had prayer time several days. Several times he will move out to the mountain to pray. He will go out to have prayer retreat. He will go and have prayer retreat for days and come back.
Hallelujah. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's move ahead. They have prayer times. Acts 6. Acts 6. Verse 4. Say, but we give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. To prayer.
To prayer. So prayer meeting is a fallout of the teaching meeting. Right? Hallelujah. We also have what we call evangelistic meeting also. Evangelistic meeting. Some people think it's only evangelists that should go out for evangelism.
No. Hallelujah.
No, I'm not an evangelist, I'm just a member.
No. No. When he mentions the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers,
he says it's for the words for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. So the role of the evangelist, pastors, teachers is to get equipped for the work of ministry, which is primarily of teaching. So who will go out to do evangelism? Who will go out to do evangelism? We says go into the world and preach the gospel.
Every believer.
Hallelujah. So the evangelistic meeting is also a...
Before we go further, the prayer meeting, there's something I wanted to say. The prayer meeting, when we come together to pray as a local church, we have someone who would lead us, right? Everybody prays, everybody is active, praying,
but one person leads and we all follow, right? Right?
Hallelujah. So the evangelistic meeting is a practical class where we all reach out to the unsaved and preach Christ. We have that as an instruction, right? You find it in Matthew 28, 18 to 19. Jesus sent his disciples to preach in Matthew 10, 1, Luke 10, Acts 2, 17. Peter had an evangelistic meeting after a believer's meeting. He had an evangelistic meeting where 3,000 people were saved. Hallelujah. Acts 3:11-26, after a miracle, Peter preached, and you understand, preached the gospel, he evangelized to them.
After a miracle. Mark that down, after a miracle, Acts, that is Acts chapter 3, we get to see that. After Acts 3:11-26, we get to see that. As we progress into the final week.
Hallelujah.
Get to see that. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We also have healing meetings. Healing meetings are also practical class where we lay hands on the sick. We lay hands on the sick. Many times, the healing meeting will come in also with the evangelistic and teaching meeting. We saw that even Jesus, after teaching, he would heal the sick.
I hear you.
Are you following me? So, evangelistic meeting,
we also have the healing meeting coming there. And it's very important. When you go out for evangelism, you meet someone who is sick. See, when we need to discuss power gifts, I think we discussed power gifts this year. One of them. Who discussed power gifts this year? Are you sure? Okay, only one discuss, right?
No, I've not talked about.
But later on, right?
I'm just thinking pneumaticals. How come I thought?
Well, I know we did complete our teaching of pneumaticals, which will continue. Which will continue. Doing a hint of what two dead are looking like. Whether it's pneumaticals or something else. Let's get prepared.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's continue. Glory to God. So, you know, some people get carried away by healing.
We get to see that. Some people healing it. Just, guys are open. Woo! The apostles, you know what the apostles did? After every major miracle, just like Jesus, who preached the gospel.
So we can say healing meetings are gateways for also evangelistic meetings. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. They will have their gateways.
Very important. What is God saying? You go to a preach and you say, is there any sick person here? That's it. They bring the sick person, you lay hands on the person, and then you preach from there. Amen.
Glory to God.
We get to see that. You know, we'll be having power outreach. And during our power outreach, we'll divide ourselves into groups.
We'll go out to places and we'll lay hands on the sick and get them well. And then we'll preach the gospel.
Amen. Are you following me? Glory to God. So, the apostles also have, Jesus had healing meetings. Matthew 4:23-24. When he was done teaching, he healed them. Matthew 8:13-16. You can read this at home. Matthew 12:22. Matthew 14:14. Matthew 15:28. Matthew 15:30. Matthew 19:2. Matthew 21:14. I'm not going over it. The apostles also have healing meetings. Acts 3. That is healing meeting. That's a healing meeting. Acts 5:12-16, Acts 8:4-8, healing meetings. We now have what we call the Holy Ghost meetings.
Holy Ghost meetings. Believers will have what we call Holy Ghost meetings.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost meetings. Yeah, this is where we dwell.
We've gotten there. Hallelujah.
Holy Ghost meetings. Quickly, what is the Holy Ghost meeting? Some people think Holy Ghost meeting is when we use an anointing oil. It's Goya oil that will break you. You are strong.
Amen. No, Holy Ghost meeting is not. Some people have made a mockery of Holy Ghost meetings.
Sorry to say, I've made a mockery of it.
Some people have not done declaration service, their own acclaimed declaration. And how will you do it? Holy Ghost will say, I declare over you. It's Holy Ghost will say, no, that's what Holy Ghost will do. You know, if these are, remember I said your knowledge of Christ, I mean your worship of God is to the what? Is to the degree of your knowledge you have concerning Him. That's how you worship. You can't worship God as high as God. Higher than so it's Holy Ghost will say. So you not see a bowl of Goya oil. That will not be your head. It's Holy Ghost will say. How is it? Oh, wonderful. I receive anointing oil. No, that's not Holy Ghost. That's not Holy Ghost. Are you hearing this? That's not Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is not when they invite a prophet. And they say, Who is? Adam and Solomon. I see a Greek. I see fan. I see something if I don't miss it, it's going to be there's going to be a bad here. There's Holy Ghost sitting. He said in that place. He used to carry there's something like wire. On that corner and where? Extension. Call the extension where? You see. That's Holy Ghost. I say, there's somebody here, you want to buy a car. God is saying, if you buy that car, you have accident. It's Holy Ghost service. Woo! No, there's no Holy Ghost service. Then you must be the walker of it. But thank God for someone like Kenneth. Thank God for someone like Pastor Chris Onoyinka. Hallelujah. Today I can stand and teach Holy Ghost as well.
Amen. Like I said, I owe it to them. I owe it
a whole lot to them. You owe it to Pastor Chris Onoyinka. Yeah.
Glory to God. Now, the Holy Ghost meeting is a believer's town hall meeting. The believer's town hall meeting.
You know, you have town hall meeting. Town hall meeting where everybody expresses themselves. You know, there's nobody. You know, there's no moderator. As the moderator will just say, you stand up. What do you want to say? But everybody talks freely. That's the town hall meeting. How do you know that? Everybody talks freely. That's the town hall meeting. So, Holy Ghost meeting is a town hall meeting, like a town hall meeting.
Where the teaching of God's word is given first place. Did you see that?
What is given first place? The teaching of God's word.
The teaching of God's word is given first place. In that meeting, the Holy Ghost is giving free course. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is given free course and everyone is edified. That is a Holy Ghost meeting.
The Holy Ghost is given free course and everyone is edified.
Hallelujah. In the Holy Ghost meetings, the gifts of the Spirit are in full demonstration.
The gifts of the Spirit are in full demonstration. Tongues and interpretation. Hallelujah. Prophecy. Gift of healing. Revelation gift. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Discerning of spirits. And in full demonstration. Hallelujah.
And in full demonstration. And everyone leaves through the door.
Leave where? Through the door. Rejoicing. Hallelujah.
You cannot be done with the Holy Ghost meeting. I am looking down. No! No! Everyone leaves rejoicing. That is a Holy Ghost meeting. Are you hearing me?
glory to God. And our CRC is our believers meeting. We will have Holy Ghost meetings in it. Are you hearing me? We have Holy Ghost meeting in our CRC. So we will have Holy Ghost meetings in our CRCs also. But we will have practical classes from here. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. In the scriptures, we had Holy Ghost meetings. In the scriptures, we had Holy Ghost meetings. In the Bible, every other one will show you their Holy Ghost meetings, right? I mean, we'll show you for the scriptures, right? Holy Ghost meetings in the scriptures. Acts of Apostles, chapter 2, quickly. Acts 2, from verse 1 to 4. Acts 2, 1 to 4. So when the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak the word of God, as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is a typical Holy Ghost. Amen. They spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Ghost is giving free calls. Free calls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to dwell on Acts 2, but before we dwell on Acts 2, let's see what Jesus said about that event in Acts of Apostles chapter 2. That's what Jesus said about that event in Acts 2. What did Jesus teach concerning Acts 2? What did Jesus teach in Acts 2? What did Jesus teach? Luke 24, 44. Okay. What did Jesus teach concerning Holy Ghost meetings?
Luke 24, 44. Are you there? He says, and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. I want you to look at that critically. He says, he taught them, and in that teaching, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. He opened their understanding. And they might understand the scripture. That word understand the scripture. The first understand has to do with their minds. Their minds. Then the second word understand, which is comprehend, is the word sunemai in the Greek. Sunemai in the Greek. It means to bring together everything. What has he taught? So what he taught them, what Jesus did was to bring together Genesis to Malachi, all together, to bring everything together. The sum up of everything brought it together. Hallelujah for them. Hallelujah. And they can now see the big picture concerning me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now verse 46. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. For tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. So when Luke gets to verse 40, from that verse 44, Luke, that will be Luke's summary of what Jesus taught them, right? Right? What did he teach them? Look at verse 25 to 37. He says, all more the Christ is so far this and the title is glory. Begin at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture of things concerning himself. So what Christ taught them was concerning his resurrection, concerning the realities of his resurrection. In Acts 1:3, Luke said he's concerning pertaining the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the concerning the resurrection will be concerning the kingdom of God. So, what did he teach was concerning the resurrection? So, what is it about the resurrection? John 14. Quickly, John 14. John 14. What is about the resurrection? John 14. He said, let your heart not be troubled. He said, believe in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house, I have many mansions. If you're not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, I have many mansions. Hallelujah. That word for mansion is the word that implies a dwelling place. Where one dwells, where one stays to continue an assignment. That's the word mansion. In my Father's house. That word house is the Greek word for oikia. It means my Father's family and many rooms and many dwelling places. Never have told you, I've told us here, that you cannot say you have mansion inside house. Rather, you have a house in the mansion, right? So in my Father's house. So that means what he's talking about is not actually a mansion inside a house. No, it's actually saying in my Father's family. That's why I told us last week. When we go into the Greek, is to make you see how it was taught then, right? Right? How it was taught. So you, the way you must receive scriptures, you must not receive scriptures like a 21st century believer. You must receive scriptures like a first century believer. Because language has evolved, but scripture, language of scriptures never evolved. Are you hearing me? So if you try to use your contemporary English of today to understand scriptures, you miss out the whole lot. Are you ready? So he say, in my Father's house are many mansions. It means in my Father's family are many dwelling places. See, if you know someone after that, I go prepare a place for you. That where I am, I mean, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself. And where I am, there you'll be also. This is not rapture. No. No. He says, he's talking about when he resurrects. Hallelujah. Talking about the resurrection. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, where I am, say, there you will be also. And look at Pastor. He said, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, do not know. I mean, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. Hallelujah. Look at verses 12. Okay, I'll start from verse 9. Let's get to verse 9. He said, I have been with you this long, yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not know? I mean, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Watch that word. Now, as at this point, where is God? I mean, rather, at this point, where is the Father? The Father is in Christ. I need to follow scripture. Where is the Father? In Christ. He said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Watch, mark that word, who dwells. Look at verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes me, the work that I do, he will do, and greater works than this shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, where is the Father? In him. So when he now says, I go to my Father, it means you need to understand what he's talking about. Right? Are you following me? So let's continue. Remember, he says, if I go, I will come again to receive it to myself. That will be when he died, he resurrected and came back and was with them for 40 days. Are you hearing me? Okay. Let's continue. Look at verses 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. And he will give you another helper, another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Say, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. I mean, verse 17. Whom the world cannot receive. Because it neither sees him nor know him. But you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. He said, I will pray the Father and he will give you the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He calls him Allos Parakletos. One who is as me, who is like me. Hallelujah. No difference. We are one and the same. Hallelujah. Verse 18, that makes you see that. He now said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Did you see that? He said, the Holy Ghost will come to you. He now said, I will come to you. What is Jesus talking about? I've told you times and times over. When he says this, it means he's trying to let you know that the Holy Ghost is Christ in the resurrection.
He's trying to let you know the Holy Ghost is the union of your Father and your Son.
Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 19. He said, a little longer, the world will not see me. I mean, the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. Hallelujah. Did you see that? What is he talking about in verse 19? He's saying he will die. The world will not see him. But he said they will see him because he will resurrect. Hallelujah. When he resurrected, who did he show himself to? To his disciples alone. Did you see that? Look at verse 20. And in that day, which day will that be? In the day of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Will that be the day of the new birth? Yes. In the new birth. When the man gets born again, he's telling them the reality of the resurrection. He says, in that day, in the resurrection, when a man gets saved, hallelujah, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Woo, glory to God. Remember he has said he will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter. Now he now said you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He brings us into the picture. Hallelujah. So it means that the indwelling of the Holy Ghost is God, or is the Father and the Son in us. That's the union of the Father and the Son. Hallelujah. 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 Look at verse 26. I'm a bit fast. In verse 26. Verse 23. And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And will come and make our home, our abode. That word home is the same word for mansion in verse 2 in the Greek. That's the same word, meno. He will come and make our meno, our home, our dwelling place, our mansion with him. So when Jesus talking about the mansion, he's talking about the indwelling. The Father and the Son in man. Hallelujah. So when a man gets born again, that's why in Matthew 20, Jesus said, teaching them to observe all what I've commanded you. Teaching them to observe. Teaching them to observe. That word observe is the word terio. It means to look at something. To look at something keenly. It's not just to just observe. You know, today, in today's time, you watch the word. If you look at the word observe, it means to just, you know, you just be a part of, just be observing. You know, you are scouting. Like the way a guy will scout for a lady in the MPN backyard. Just be scouting. When is she going to children's park? You are scouting. You are observing. You are watching ground. No. It's not that kind of observation. No. Hallelujah. This has to do with a keen observation. Your mind is there. Your head is there. Your body is there. You are there, spirit, soul, and body. As in, you are looking at something. Hallelujah. That is the word tell you. It's used for when you look at a thing and it's believed that if you blink your eyes, that thing is going to disappear. So you do like this. That is tell you. You are looking at it. It's a teaching them to observe all whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo. That word lo is the word orao. It means see, behold, all things are new. Meaning what you should teach them is it says see, and with you always, even to the ends of the age. Sorry, I'm quoting 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. It says see, and with you always, even to the ends of the age. Meaning what you should teach them is for them to see, observe, and see that Christ is in us. Are you hearing me? That is what the church should teach. The church should spend time teaching and analyzing. Teach and let the whole believer, let the disciples see that Christ is in him, is in us. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Say, teaching them to observe all things that are commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. I'm with you. Jesus says, he's with us. He didn't tell us, I'm going, I'll come back later. No, he is in us. He's with us. Hallelujah. Jesus never left the earth. He never did. Show me where he did in the scriptures. He never did. He's with us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Someone asked me, sir, you say he's with us. What about in Acts chapter 1? He said he went out of the other day. I saw him go to heaven. I said, wait, calm down. You don't know scriptures. Understand it first. You know, it's good to understand the basics of Christianity. Then when you get to those places, you quickly know what it is. Hallelujah. We'll explain it as we discuss in this teaching. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost teaching. You get to see.
that Jesus never left the earth. He never did. When he resurrected, he stayed in us. He lives in us. Glory to God. Jesus carries out his assignment in the earth today through his children. He's in us. He's in us. That's why we don't get afraid. That's why we're not afraid. He lives in me. Hallelujah. That is the fact of the resurrection. He's teaching them to observe that I am with you always. Did you get that? Teaching them to observe that word, I am with you. If Jesus said he's with you always, it means he never left. He's with you. Hallelujah. It says in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, he said, I will not leave you. I will never leave you. That's what I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never. God never leaves. God never leaves. Hallelujah. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That we may boldly say. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Can you see that? He never leaves. He never leaves. He's in me. Glory to God. Amen. So let's begin to round up. Let's round up quickly. Hallelujah. So the resurrection fact will be the indwelling. So when Luke now writes about that instruction for verse 46 to 49. Look at that, Luke 24, 46 to 49. Begin to round up soon. Ooh, we have a whole lot to cover, but we'll round up now. Luke 24, verse 46 to 49. It says, thus it is written, thus it behoves Christ. Thus it's necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise the third day. And that repentance and resurrection will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, for you are witness of these things. Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Luke will now write this instruction based on what Jesus has taught. This instruction will flow from Jesus based on what he has taught them within the 40 days. So, Luke will document that instruction now. Are you following that? The instruction will be Jesus' instructions to them based on what he has told them. And that is why Luke writes it that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The same way too, Matthew summary will be that, will be the same instructions too. But he will concentrate on the discipleship aspect. We talked about that a bit, right? We will focus on the discipleship aspect of that same instruction. And disciples will be disciples of his resurrection. What is the reality of the resurrection? The indwelling. Are you following that? But uniquely, something you need to see. Uniquely, John and Luke took note of a particular instruction that Jesus gave. That was not expressly stated by Matthew and Mark. But they implied it. If you read it well, they implied it. But they didn't expressly state it like John and Luke will. What is that instruction? We'll get to see it now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But something you must put your mind on is on the fact that the instruction will flow from the teaching. Hallelujah. So that means that what he instructed them will be what he taught them. Will be based on what he taught them. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. What he taught them within the 40 days. So look at that instruction. John 20. Look at how John will put it. John 20. On verse 21. It says, Jesus came and said to them, Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. And when he said this to them, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Ghost. If you forgive any sin, they are forgiven. And if you retain, they are retained. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch that. Now, verses 23, when he says verses 23, whosoever sins here forgive is forgiven, and whosoever here retain is retained, he's talking about the preaching of the gospel.
Because the preaching of the gospel, remember in Luke 24, it said that repentance and remission of sins will be preached. So the remission of sin, when he said, whosoever sins, ye forgive.
How?
It doesn't make you a sin cleanser. No. Satan, I forgive your sins. Like what I did years back. Somebody splashed me water, just because of sin. I retain your sins. So childish,
if I look at it from
today. But I am angry. Holy anger. I retain your sins.
Some of us do that.
No, that's not what he's talking about here. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He's in the preaching of the gospel. Even man is born again, his sins are forgiven. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. That is John's summary.
If a man is born again, John's summary of Luke 24, 47, 48, 49 is John's summary. Hallelujah. John's summary of Mark 16, 15. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That is it. So if a man does not believe, is what Mark will call shall be damned. That is what his sins are not forgiven. Are you following me?
Glory to God. Okay, look at that verse 22. It says, and he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Ghost. Now, when he uses the word and he breathed on them, that word is a word that is used for quickening.
For quickening from things that he breathed on them. He's not meaning, does not mean something that
receive the Holy Ghost.
No, don't know what it is. That word, he breathed on them, is a shorthand for he taught them. That is the first day's teaching. It's the same thing if we read Luke 24, verse 45. Luke 24, verse 45.
Luke 24, verse 45. Let's quickly go there. I don't know why I skipped my. Okay. And he opened their understanding. That is that opening of understanding.
And how did he do that? Via teaching, verse 44. You see that? It was via teaching, the opening. So, as he said, and he breathed on them. That he breathed on them will be done within the 40 days. Now, when he now uses the word receive here the Holy Ghost, is now when you see receive here the Holy Ghost, and you think it's receive the Holy Ghost, then you miss it.
Jonathan,
that word receive is the Greek word lambano.
That word receive is the Greek. So meaning,
listen, he taught them for 40 days. That is it. He breathed on them. That is the teaching. Then he now gave an instruction. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye forgive is forgiven. And whosoever sins and whosoever ye retain is retained. Remember, that instruction of whosoever sins and forgive will flow from receiving the Holy Ghost. Are you following that? It will come brighter as we go into next week and next 2 weeks. Are you hearing me? You get to see it brighter as you get into the other ones. Now, receiving the Holy Ghost, that word receive.
That word receive is the Greek word lambano. It implies to take. It's an active word. Now, something that people miss is to take what? Not to take things, no.
That word lambano is to take what is available to you, what belongs to you, what is available to you. Very unique. Make sure you don't miss that. Lambano means to take what is available to you. Are you hearing me? What is available to you? What is available within you, around you? That's the word lambano.
Not to take anything. You see somebody's car, lambano your car. Is it your? Do you understand? I'm going to go to lambano.
I used to remember those days. Oh, you're not learning Greek. What Greek is that? I'm going to go. Lambano your
car. Hallelujah.
No.
Hallelujah. To take. Okay. At that point, when he told them, receive ye the Holy Ghost, where was the Holy Ghost?
Now, were they saved? They were saved. When they born again, they were born again, because at the point when he breathed from them was when he talks them. So within the point of the teaching, a man believes. If a man believes in the gospel, he's saved. People, those drama of come out, see after me, see after me, see after me, ABC, I accept, I accept that. Now, if that is not salvation, no, salvation is when a man believes. Are you hearing me? When a man believes. So in that 40 days, the Bible says, if we read other accounts, the Bible showed us that their understanding was open, Luke, right? That understanding being open means they believed. Are you following me? Before the instruction came. So the instruction came after they believed. Are you hearing me? So, he now told them, receive here the Holy Ghost. First of all, where was the Holy Ghost? It was in them. But when a man believes, what he receives is the Holy Ghost. So when he now says, receive here the Holy Ghost, what does he mean? You know, we are teaching Holy Ghost things. So I begin to start to understand. When he says, receive ye the Holy Ghost, what does he mean? Remember, receive is to take of what belongs to you, what is available to you, right? Right? So let's see that. So when he says, receive ye the Holy Ghost, the receiving will be to take of what is available to you, and the Holy Ghost is where? In them. Are you following me? That word receive, lambano, you find it again in Acts 1:8. You shall receive power. After the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That word after the Holy Ghost come upon you is contemporary English. It's actually you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Do you understand me? Something not to lose out for is that word power. That word power is the Greek word dynamis, which we've always said is the dynamic ability to orchestrate a change. Wow, wonderful. That word dynamis is the same word that is used for miraculous power. It implies an operative force in the believer. Operative force in the believer. Ephesians 3:19. It calls it the power at work in you. It calls it the dynamis that is at work in you, in the believer. Ephesians 3:16-20. The power is at work in the believer. So when is power at work in the believer? What is power operative in the believer? So he said, you shall receive power. Where will you receive the power? That what will receive is lambano. Where will you receive the power? The power is where? Inside. Are you following that? Where is the power? Inside. So you shall receive power, meaning you will take of what you have within. Are you following that? He said, when the Holy Ghost is come upon. We'll look at that one upon us. Hallelujah. It's come upon you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what it means is that when Jesus told them, receive ye the Holy Ghost, or you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is coming upon you, it deals with man's effort. It deals with whose effort? Man's effort. That's not nothing to do with God. It's your effort. Are you following that? It deals with man's effort. So you will receive power. Where is the power inside? So you will be the one to take of power from you. Are you following that? Receive here the Holy Ghost, lambano the Holy Ghost. Where is the Holy Ghost? Within you. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in Luke 24:49. I guess we just have to close. Luke 24:49. Oh, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Power again comes to play here. Hallelujah. When he says, send the promise upon you. Now when he says, look at that word, he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. What is the promise of the Father? We are getting to see it. Hallelujah. He is not talking about the indwelling. No, they've received the indwelling before now in verse 45. Are you hearing me? So he says, I send the promise of my Father upon you. What is the promise of the Father? He now went ahead. Remember we said it has got to do with man's effort. So when he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you.
He now went ahead to explain what that means. That's the reason for the semicolon or the colon you have there. He said, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. So that promise of the Holy Ghost will be my effort. Will be my effort. Hallelujah. That's why I said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued. That word endued is the Greek word enduo. It means to put on, to wear something. To wear something. So when it has to do with I will wear something, to wear something, it deals with my effort also. So Jesus is showing them it's going to be your effort. Are you following me? It's going to be you doing it. Hallelujah. You remember when we had that teaching on when the Spirit gets to move, we say the Holy Ghost moves when you move. Glory to God. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the word enduo is an active word. It involves my action. So that power, till you be endued with power from on high. The power, what will be the power? The power is operative. That is dunamis. Where is that power? In the believer. Is the operative power in the believer. So we say, carry the city of the Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Meaning, you didn't want to take on that power. That is the reason for the word enduo, to be endued, enduo. You be able to take up that path. I now shows you from where, from on high. The on high will not be in the sky, because where the power is in you. The on high is in the believer. The sky is not our on high. The sky is not our on high. Our on high is in the angel. It's in the believer. Are you hearing me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. The on high will be in the believer. Say, the on high is in me. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Ephesians 1. Verses 17. I'm talking about verse 19. And the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him up from the dead, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly. Where is Jesus seated? In the heavenly. Far above principalities and powers, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. Look at chapter 2, verse 5. But when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together. And made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ. Where is Christ seated? On high. Where are we seated? On high. Where are we seated? In Christ. Where is Christ? In us. So where is he on high? Where we are. Where is he on high? Where we are. Where is he on high? Where the believer is called on high. Are you following me? Where the believer is called on high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So where is the believer? In Christ. And Christ is in us. Are you following that? So Christ. So where is the on high? In the believer. So when he says you will be endued with power from on high, see, he's not talking about sky. He's talking about where you are. And where you are is where God is. Is where Christ is. Hallelujah. Are you seeing that? So our on high, the on high is in the believer. So where will you take power from? From within. From within. This is why when Peter was to explain what happened to them, he quoted Joel. And then this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. Say, the last days I'll pour out of my spirit. I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I'll pour out of. Meaning a taking off. Just that, a taking off. Are you following that? So where is the power? The power of God is not in anything. The power of God is in the believer. Hallelujah. Where is the power of God? In a believer.
So the believer takes up God's power from within. Say, I take of God's power from within.
I exercise
God's power
from within.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So what Jesus told them is to take of what they have already. It's to take of what you have already. It's not to go and look for power elsewhere. No. It's to take of what you have inside already. So in the believers' meeting, we'll take from within. We'll take from within. Hallelujah. So when he says, I will send apart my spirit upon. When he says, the spirit upon, it means to take within. You take it from within and you wear it. It's a wearing. That endure is to explain it, that it's a wearing. Hallelujah. You take it from within and you wear it upon. Hallelujah. So in the believers, we'll take up what we have within.
Are you hearing me? So in the Holy Ghost meeting, we'll take up what we have within. Are you hearing that? In the Holy Ghost meeting, we'll take up power within. We'll take up what we have within. We'll take it up from within. Hallelujah.
And everyone is edified. Everyone is edified. Let's be on our feet and thank Him. Let's be on our feet and just worship Him. Just be on your feet and just worship Him. Just worship Him. Just worship Him.